Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at Christian education.
Okay.
But we're not talking about your typical Sunday school lesson here.
There.
We're going deep with an academic thesis by Craig Duncan Mitchell. It's called Reforming Christian Education in Congregations as the Praxis of Growing Disciples for a Missional Church.
Now that's a mouthful.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's quite a title.
It is.
But stick with us.
Yes, because this thesis.
It's really fascinating.
It is. It was actually commissioned by the Uniting Church in Australia.
Really?
Yeah, they're facing some pretty serious challenge
I can
now.
imagine.
Yeah, with declining membership. And they're really searching for ways to make Christian education relevant.
Okay, so they're like, hey, we need some help here. We
Exactly.
need to figure out how to make this work.
Yeah, how to connect with people in today's world.
Yeah, in a
Yeah.
world that's completely different from like the good old days of,
Right, exactly. And to understand just how much things have changed. Mitchell actually takes us back to his own childhood,
Oh, wow.
growing up in the Uniting Church during the 1970s and 80s.
Okay.
So you have to imagine like bustling Sunday schools,
Yeah.
packed youth groups,
They bet.
summer camps galore.
Wow.
Christian education was just woven into the fabric of church life back then.
Yeah, it sounds like a different world.
It really was.
Yeah.
It was a golden age, you could say.
Yeah, those were the days.
But then he fast forwards to the present reality. Well, it's a bit of a reality check.
Okay.
Yeah, in 2016, only 7%
Wow.
of Uniting Church attendees were aged 15 to 29.
That's tiny.
Yeah, compared to 48% who were over 70.
Wow. That's a huge difference.
Yeah, it's a massive shift.
Wow.
And even more striking,
Okay.
the median number of children attending worship in 2013 was just 3 per congregation.
Three kids.
3 kids.
You can't even have like a Sunday school class with three
Well, that's more
kids.
like a play date.
Seriously, this isn't just a gradual decline. We're talking about a like
Steep drop.
a massive shift. And Mitchell, he doesn't shy away from asking the tough questions here.
No, he doesn't.
He's diving right into the heart of it.
He asks, like, what's caused this dramatic shift?
Yeah.
Has Christian education become less important, or have our methods just become outdated?
Yeah, have we just gotten stuck in the past?
Exactly.
Yeah, are we still trying to do things the way we did them, 30, 40 years ago
Right.
when the world has completely changed?
Exactly.
Yeah, and maybe even more importantly, like, are we clinging to a model that just doesn't work anymore? Do we need to rethink what Christian education should even look like in this day and age?
Yeah, those are some really important questions.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Mitchell's research is trying to tackle.
Okay, so he didn't just want to point out the problems.
No, he wanted solutions.
He actually went searching for
He
answers.
did. He went out and did in-depth interviews
Wow.
with leaders from 13 different Uniting Church congregations
Across Australia.
all across Australia.
Wow. So he really wanted to get a broad perspective.
You wanted to find out what's working.
Yeah.
What are these churches doing
Yeah.
to actually thrive in this changing landscape?
Okay, so he didn't just want to complain about the problems. He wanted to find churches that were actually like figuring this out.
Yeah, finding solutions.
Okay, let's dive into some of the key themes that came out of his research.
Sure.
I'm really intrigued by this concept of congregations as learning communities.
Okay.
What does that even mean?
So it's a really powerful shift in perspective.
Okay.
Instead of thinking about Christian education as something that just happens in a classroom or during a specific program, imagine a church where learning is woven into every aspect of their life together.
So it's less about formal classes
Right.
and more about like a culture.
Yeah, a culture of learning where it's happening all the time.
Yeah, organically in
Exactly.
everyday interactions.
Yeah. So picture this.
Okay.
You're chatting with someone after a service, and a simple question about a sermon point
Yeah.
sparks this deep theological discussion.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe you're volunteering at a community garden with your church,
Yeah.
and it leads to a reflection on what it means to be a steward of the earth.
I love that it's like faith formation just becomes a natural part of life.
Exactly. It's integrated into daily life.
Yeah. Not something you just do on a Sunday morning.
Right. It transforms the entire congregation into a living, breathing classroom where
Wow.
people can learn and grow and question together.
I love that's a really cool concept.
It is.
And it kind of connects to another key theme that I wanted to touch on,
Okay.
these communities of practice.
Yes.
Tell us more about that.
All right. So think about the rituals and shared activities that bring people together and deepen their faith.
Okay.
Things like volunteering at a homeless shelter, participating in a Bible study group, or even just sharing a meal and conversation with fellow church members.
Yeah.
These shared practices, they create a space where faith can be embodied.
Okay, so we're not just talking about passively absorbing information.
No.
We're talking about actually like living out your faith.
Yes.
In tangible ways.
It's the difference between knowing about faith
yeah.
and actually experiencing it.
I see.
Yeah, these shared practices,
yeah.
they make faith less about head knowledge and more about a way of life.
That's powerful.
It is.
Okay, so we've got learning communities. We've got these communities of practice.
Mm-hmm.
What other gems did Mitchell unearth in his research?
But one thing that really stood out was this emphasis on experiential learning.
Experiential learning.
Yeah, a lot of the churches he studied were moving away from traditional classroom-based models.
Okay, so less lectures and textbooks.
Exactly.
Okay.
More hands-on.
More like real-world application.
Exactly.
Same as some examples.
Okay, so imagine a church group
yeah.
that partners with a local community garden.
Okay.
They're not just learning about caring for the earth. They're actually getting their hands dirty.
Yeah.
Planting seeds, tending to the soil, and harvesting the fruits of their labor.
I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah, it connects faith and action.
Yeah.
It's not just theoretical knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It's about experiencing faith in a tangible, sensory way.
Yeah, it's like you can actually see the results of your work.
Exactly.
You can taste the food that you grow.
Right. And it goes beyond just the physical activity.
Okay.
They also incorporate times of reflection and discussion.
Okay.
Exploring the deeper meaning behind their work.
So it's not just about gardening.
No.
It's about connecting that to their faith.
Exactly.
Okay.
They might ask questions like, what does it mean to be a steward of God's creation?
Yeah.
Or how does our faith call us to care for those in need?
It's like they're turning the garden into an outdoor classroom.
Exactly.
Where they can explore their faith in a completely different context.
It's a different way of learning.
Yeah, I love that.
And that's just one example.
Okay.
Mitchell highlights other congregations. Yeah.
Yeah.
That are using creative approaches like service projects, retreats, pilgrimages, even arts and crafts to engage people of all ages in a more experiential way.
It's like they're saying, forget the dusty textbooks. Let's go out and actually live out our faith.
Exactly. And what's really important here is intentionality.
Intentionality.
These churches aren't just throwing together random activities.
Okay.
They're carefully considering how each experience can contribute to their overall goals for Christian education.
It's strategic.
It is.
Yeah, they're not just winging it.
No, they're thinking about how can we create experiences that will help people grow in their faith and connect with God in a deeper way.
Okay, so we've talked about experiential learning.
Yeah.
What other innovative approaches did Mitchell discover?
Another recurring theme was this focus on intergenerational learning.
Intergenerational learning.
Yeah, so many of the churches he studied were creating spaces where people of all ages could learn and grow together.
I love that.
Yeah, it's so important.
It breaks down the silos that can sometimes exist between different age groups and churches.
Right.
You know, you've got the kids over here.
The youth group over there.
Yeah, and the adults doing their own thing.
And it recognizes that each generation brings unique gifts and wisdom to the table.
Absolutely.
So imagine a program where older adults are paired with younger people for mentorship and spiritual guidance.
I love that.
Yeah, it creates this beautiful cycle of shared learning and support.
Yeah, the younger generation can benefit from the experience and wisdom of their elders.
Right.
And the older generation can be inspired by the energy and fresh perspectives of the youth.
Exactly, it's a win-win.
Yeah, everyone benefits.
And it doesn't have to be limited to one-on-one mentorship.
Okay.
Some churches are incorporating intergenerational activities into their regular worship services.
Oh, wow.
Sunday school classes.
Yeah.
Or even social events.
Okay, so it's about creating a more inclusive and welcoming environment for people of all ages. It's like they're saying, hey, we're all on this faith journey together.
Right.
So let's learn from each other.
Yes.
And support each other along the way.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is.
Now, we can't talk about the future of anything without addressing the elephant in the room.
Yo, the big T.
Technology.
Yes.
How did these churches approach the role of technology in Christian education?
That's a great question.
Yeah, because it's everywhere.
It is.
So they can't just ignore it.
Right.
So what were they doing?
Well, some churches were using technology to create virtual learning communities.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, think online courses, discussion forums, or even just sharing resources and reflections online.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, this opens up a whole new world of possibilities
Yeah.
for people who might not be able to attend in-person events.
Yeah, for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah, due to distance mobility issues or even just busy schedules.
Yeah, life gets in the way sometimes.
It does.
Yeah, so this makes faith formation more accessible, more
Yes.
flexible,
And more convenient.
which is essential in today's world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's not just about online learning, right?
Well, there's a whole spectrum of ways churches are using technology.
Okay, like what?
Some churches were using social media
Okay.
to share stories of faith,
Huh.
spark conversations about current events from a faith perspective,
Okay.
or simply connect with people in their community in a more informal way.
So it's about meeting people where they are,
Exactly.
using the tools and platforms that are already part of their everyday lives. So it's
Exactly.
not about being like super high tech and fancy.
Well,
It's about using the tools that people are already familiar with.
right. And it's not about blindly adopting every new gadget or trend.
Right.
It's about being intentional
Yeah.
and asking, how can we use these tools to enhance our mission and create a more vibrant and connected community?
I love that.
Yeah.
It sounds like these churches are really embracing the idea that Christian education doesn't have to be confined to the four walls of a building.
That's right.
It can happen anywhere, anytime, through a variety of approaches.
Exactly.
It's not one size fits all.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Each church needs to find what works best for them
Yeah.
based on their context and their goals.
Okay, so it's about having a clear vision and purpose, but
Yes.
also being open to experimentation and innovation along the way.
That's the key.
Yeah.
That's how you thrive.
Be willing to try new things. Be
Exact.
willing to adapt.
Yes.
Okay.
And of course, there's always the challenge of resources.
Oh, yeah.
Time, money, people,
Yeah.
power.
The classic resource crunch.
Yeah, a lot of the churches Mitchell studied
Yeah.
were operating with limited budgets,
I bet.
volunteer capacity,
Yeah.
and often a lack of people with expertise in Christian education.
Yeah, it's a common problem.
It is.
So, how did these congregations manage to overcome these limitations?
Well, they got creative.
Okay.
Some churches partnered with other congregations or community organizations to pool resources
Yeah.
and share expertise.
That's smart,
Yeah,
working together.
collaboration is key.
Yeah.
Others found ways to leverage technology
Okay.
to develop more cost-effective programs,
Yeah.
and many simply relied on the passion and dedication of their volunteers.
Yeah, sometimes that's all you need.
It is.
People who are committed to the cause
It's
and
exact.
they're willing to put in the time and the effort.
And their heart.
Yeah, it's amazing what can be accomplished when people are
Yeah.
truly committed.
It is.
It really is.
And it's a testament to the resilience and adaptability of these
Yeah.
congregations. They weren't letting limited resources stop them from pursuing their vision.
That's inspiring.
It is.
This has been such an insightful conversation. We've
Tejas.
covered so much ground.
Yeah.
From the challenges facing the church to the innovative approaches that congregations are using. But I think there's one big question looming.
Okay.
What does all of this mean for the future of Christian education?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, where do we go from here?
That's a fantastic question,
Yeah.
and one that we'll explore in more depth in the final part of our deep dive.
Okay, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Okay, so we're talking about living out your faith in these communities of practice.
Yeah, it's about making faith less about head knowledge
Yeah.
and more about a way of life.
Right. And that's really powerful.
It is.
Okay. So we've talked about learning communities. We've got these communities of practice. What other gems did Mitchell unearth in his research?
Well, one thing that really stood out to me was this emphasis on experiential learning.
Experiential learning.
Yeah, a lot of the churches he studied were moving away from those traditional classroom-based models.
Okay, so less lectures and textbooks, sort of
Exactly.
hands-on.
More real-world application.
Yeah, give us some examples.
Okay, so imagine a church group that partners with a local community garden.
Okay.
They're not just learning about caring for the earth, they're actually getting their hands dirty, planting seeds, tending to the soil, harvesting the fruits of their labor.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you're connecting faith and action.
Yeah.
It's not just theoretical knowledge anymore.
You can actually see the results of your work.
Right, and it goes beyond just the physical activity.
Okay.
They also incorporate times of reflection and discussion,
Okay.
exploring the deeper meaning behind their work.
So it's not just gardening, it's about connecting that to their faith.
Exactly. They might ask questions like, what does it mean to be a steward of God's creation?
Yeah.
Or how does our faith call us to care for those in need?
It's like they're turning the garden into an outdoor classroom.
Exactly.
Yeah, where they can explore their faith in a whole different context.
Yeah, it's a different way of learning,
And that's just one example.
right? Mitchell highlights other congregations that are using creative approaches, like service projects, retreats, pilgrimages, even
Wow.
arts and crafts, to engage people of all ages in a more experiential way.
So it's like they're saying, forget the dusty textbooks.
Right.
Let's go out and actually live out our faith.
Yeah, and what's really important here is intentionality.
Intentionality.
These churches aren't just throwing together random activities.
Okay.
They're carefully considering how each experience can contribute to their overall goals for Christian education.
So it's strategic.
It is, they're thinking about how can we create experiences that will help people grow in their faith and connect with God in a deeper way.
Okay, so we've talked about experiential learning.
Yeah.
What other innovative approaches did Mitchell discover?
Another recurring theme was this focus on intergenerational learning.
Intergenerational learning.
Yeah, a lot of the churches he studied were creating spaces where people of all ages could learn and grow together.
I think that's so important.
It's breaking down those silos that can sometimes exist between different age groups in churches.
You know, you've got the kids over here, the youth group over there, and the adults are off doing their own thing.
Right, and it recognizes that each generation brings unique gifts and wisdom to the table.
Absolutely.
So imagine a program where older adults are paired with younger people for mentorship and spiritual guidance.
I love that.
Yeah, it creates this beautiful cycle of shared learning and support.
Yeah. The younger generation can benefit from the experience and the wisdom of their elders,
Right.
and the older generation can be inspired by the energy and fresh perspectives of the youth.
It's a win-win.
Everyone benefits.
And it doesn't have to be limited to one-on-one mentorship.
Okay.
Some churches are incorporating intergenerational activities into their regular worship services, Sunday school classes, or even social events.
So it's about creating a more inclusive and welcoming environment for people of all ages.
Exactly. It's like they're saying, hey, we're all on this faith journey together, so let's learn from each other and support each other along the way.
Now, we can't talk about the future of anything without addressing the elephant in the room,
Oh,
technology.
yeah. Technology. How can we forget?
Exactly. How did these churches approach the role of technology in Christian education?
Well, some churches are using technology to create virtual learning communities.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, think online courses, discussion forums, or even just sharing resources and reflections online.
I see.
This opens up a whole new world of possibilities for people who might not be able to attend in-person events.
Yeah, for all sorts of reasons.
Right, due to distance mobility issues or even just busy schedules.
Life gets in the way sometimes.
It does.
Yeah, so this makes faith formation more accessible and more flexible,
And more convenient.
which is essential in today's world.
Absolutely.
But it's not just about online learning, is it?
No, there's a whole spectrum of ways churches are using technology.
Like what?
Some churches were using social media to share stories of faith, spark conversations about current events from a faith perspective, or simply connect with people in their community in a more informal way.
So it's about meeting people where they are,
Exactly.
using the tools and platforms that are already part of their everyday lives.
Exactly. And it's not about blindly adopting every new gadget or trend.
Right. It's about being intentional and asking, how can we use these tools to enhance our mission and create a more vibrant and connected community?
It sounds like these churches are really embracing the idea that Christian education doesn't have to be confined to the four walls of a building.
Right.
It can happen anywhere, anytime, through a variety of approaches.
That's the key takeaway here.
Yeah.
The churches that are thriving are the ones that are willing to adapt, to be creative, and to meet people where they are.
So be willing to experiment.
Exactly.
Try new things. Don't
Yes.
be afraid to fail.
Yeah, failure is just part of the process.
It's all about learning and growing.
Exactly.
It's inspiring to see how these congregations are breathing new life into Christian education.
It is.
But I'm also curious about the challenges they faced. Did Mitchell address any of the roadblocks or pushback they encountered? Because let's be real, change isn't always easy, especially in a church setting.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Change can be tough.
Especially when people are attached to traditions and familiar ways of doing things. Yeah, people get comfortable with the way things are.
It's understandable that some church members might be hesitant to embrace new approaches, especially when it comes to something as personal as faith.
Absolutely. It's important to acknowledge that and to approach change with sensitivity and patience.
So it's not about forcing change on people, it's about bringing them along on the journey.
Exactly, helping them see the value and the potential of these new approaches.
So it's about creating a space where people feel heard and respected.
Right.
Even if they have different perspectives or concerns.
It's about having open dialogue.
Yeah.
Addressing concerns and helping people understand why these changes are being made.
So it sounds like navigating change in a church setting requires a lot of empathy, communication, and a willingness to listen.
It does. It's not always a smooth or easy process.
But the churches that were successful were the ones that were able to create a culture of trust and transparency.
Yes.
Where people felt safe to share their thoughts and feelings. Okay, so resistance to change is one hurdle. What other challenges did these churches encounter?
Well, another common challenge was finding the right balance between structure and flexibility.
Yeah.
While a lot of churches were moving away from those rigid program-driven models,
yeah,
they also recognized the need for some level of organization and intentionality.
Right. You don't want to be too loosey-goosey, but you also don't want to be too rigid.
Exactly. It's about finding that sweet spot.
Yeah.
You need enough structure to provide guidance and direction.
Right.
But you also need enough flexibility to adapt to the unique needs of your community.
So each church needs to find what works best for them.
Exactly.
Based on their context and their goals.
Right.
Okay. And then, of course, there's the ever-present challenge of resources.
Oh, yes. Resources.
Time, money, people, power.
The classic resource crunch.
Yeah. A lot of the churches Mitchell studied were operating with limited budgets, volunteer capacity, and often a lack of people with expertise in Christian education.
Yeah, that's a common problem.
Yeah. So how did these congregations manage to overcome these limitations?
Well, they got creative.
Okay, how so?
Some churches partnered with other congregations or community organizations to pool resources and share expertise.
So it's about working together.
Collaboration is key.
Yeah.
Others found ways to leverage technology to develop more cost-effective programs.
Okay.
And many simply relied on the passion and dedication of their volunteers.
Sometimes that's all you need.
It is.
People who are committed to the cause.
People who are willing to put in the time and the effort.
It's amazing what can be accomplished when people are truly committed.
It really is. It's a testament to the resilience and the adaptability of these congregations.
They weren't letting limited resources stop them from pursuing their vision.
Exactly. They found a way to make it work.
This has been such an insightful conversation.
It has.
We've covered so much ground, from the challenges facing the church to the innovative approaches that congregations are using.
We've talked about a lot.
But I think there's one big question looming. What does all of this mean for the future of Christian education?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Where do we go from here?
That is a fantastic question, and one that we'll explore in more depth in the final part of our deep dive.
Okay, so stay tuned. Welcome back to our deep dive into the future of Christian education. We've talked about the challenges, the innovative approaches churches are using, but what does it all mean? What's the takeaway for our listeners, for churches who want to make a real difference?
Well, what I found really interesting is that Mitchell doesn't just offer like practical tips and tricks.
Okay.
He challenges us to rethink the very foundation of how we approach faith formation. He argues that the decline of traditional Christian education, it isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's an opportunity, a chance for a much needed transformation.
So instead of like clinging to the past, we should be looking ahead, embracing the possibilities of the future.
Exactly.
But what would that even look like? Does he give us any clues about what this new era of Christian education could be?
He does. Mitchell outlines several key principles that he believes are essential for creating these thriving learning communities in the 21st century.
Okay, so what are they?
One of the most important is shifting from a content-centered approach to a more relational and experiential one.
Yeah, we talked about that before, but it's worth repeating.
Definitely.
It's not just about stuffing people's heads with information. It's about creating spaces where they can encounter faith in a more holistic, embodied way. It's about feeling it, living it, not just knowing about it.
It's about recognizing that faith formation isn't just about acquiring knowledge. It's about cultivating a way of life.
Okay.
A way of being in the world that's rooted in love, compassion, and service.
And that ties back to the ideas of congregations as learning communities and
right.
communities of practice. It's all about creating an environment where faith is woven into the fabric of everyday life.
Exactly. These ideas, they're all interconnected. They build on each other. When we create a culture of learning within the congregation, and we engage in practices that embody our faith, something really powerful happens.
What's that?
We start to see a transformation, not just in individuals, but in the entire community.
So it's a shift in mindset and culture. It's not just about like tweaking programs or updating curriculum. It's a deeper, more holistic approach to faith formation.
It is.
But that requires a commitment from everyone, right?
It does. It's not just about the leaders. It's about recognizing that everyone has a role to play in fostering spiritual growth and that faith formation is a lifelong journey.
Yeah, it's not just for kids in Sunday school.
No, it's for everyone at every stage of life.
Now, Mitchell also talks about connecting faith formation with mission. What does that mean practically?
He's arguing that Christian education shouldn't be inward focused. You know, it should equip people to live out their faith in the world, to be agents of change, to make a real difference.
So it's about taking what we learn and putting it into action.
Yes. It requires a willingness to engage with the complexities of the world, to wrestle with tough issues, and to find ways to put our faith into action in concrete, meaningful ways. It's about asking ourselves, how can we use our gifts, our resources, our faith to make the world a better place?
This is all incredibly challenging, but also incredibly inspiring.
It is.
It feels like we're standing on the edge of a new era in Christian education. One that is more adaptable, more relevant, more deeply connected to the real-life experiences of people.
And Mitchell's thesis provides a really valuable roadmap for navigating this new landscape.
Mm-hmm.
He's given us a set of tools and principles that can help us build a more vibrant and transformative future for Christian education.
And as you mentioned earlier, this isn't a solo journey. We need each other. We need to work together, to collaborate, to learn from one another.
Exactly. It's about communities coming together to reimagine what faith formation can look like in the 21st century.
Asking bold questions, being open to new ideas, supporting each other along the way.
That's it.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive, let's give our listeners something concrete they can take away. What's one small step someone could take to start putting these ideas into practice? Maybe even in their own congregation.
You know, if I had to choose one thing, I'd say start a conversation.
Okay.
Gather a group of people who are passionate about faith formation and talk about what we've discussed today. Talk about Mitchell's research, share your own experiences, brainstorm ideas, dream big.
It all starts with a conversation.
It does.
With a willingness to listen, learn, and dream together.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, on that note, we'll wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive. Thanks for joining us as we explored the future of Christian education. We hope this has sparked some new ideas and inspired you to think differently about how we can nurture faith in the 21st century. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.